5 and 5.
Well, good morning, Hope Church.
Good morning.
So good to see you all. You look beautiful this morning. Glad to have you here. Glad for those that are watching live this morning. See some visitors here with us today, and we sure hope you enjoy being here. I know there's a lot of people that are out that are sick, that are really struggling with lots of illnesses, and we surely want to keep those people in our mind and in our prayers. We got a lot of people that are struggling this morning. Part of the praise team is we've got some that are out, they're not feeling good, some that's just traveling and getting away for a well-deserved time away. So this morning, we definitely need you all piping up and singing, okay? So you clear that voice and let's sing praises to Him, and it's going to sound beautiful. He loves it when we sing praises to Him and about Him, because that's what it really is. When you're singing, you're talking to God. You're singing those hymns, and it should be a spirit-filled heart. So just pay attention to some of the words that we're singing. We're singing some old ones this morning that everybody knows. So jump on in, sing with us, and let's just have us a good time this morning, okay?
Coming for to carry me home, sweet love, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. Sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Sometimes I feel alone, but I know my soul is heavenly bound. One day Jesus gonna carry me home. Sing it. Sweet love, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet love, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, just make yourself tell them that it won't be long. Sweet love, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet love, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home, coming for to carry me home.
If there ever was a morning for you to sing out on a song, I'm praying it's this one.
You got it.
Let's praise God together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I want to thank you for such a beautiful day. It's cold, but that's all right. We got warm hearts because you're here with us. Our feet are warm, our bodies are warm, and it's good because you're here with us. And we want to thank you and praise you for that. Father, be with those that can't be here today for whatever reason, sick or just can't get out. We ask that you just bless them. Be with us today, Father. Bless the words that we will hear, the songs that we're going to sing. Let it be used for your glory. Father, this communion, we want to thank you. As we take the bread, remember what you said. Your body was broke and was given for us. Do this in remembrance of him. And the juice, Father, the blood that was shed, Jesus shed it for us, for our sins, so that we could come and be with you. We want to thank you, Father. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for what he did for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. Yeah. And it's in your great name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. This next song is Eric and Lindy so beautifully played the instrumental part of this song, How Great Thou Art. Right now we're going to try to sing it. I'm going to try to help lead it a cappella style. So as David said a while ago, I'd like for everybody to sing out loud and clear this morning. This song means a lot to me. I've said before, it's one of my dad's most favorite songs. So please join in and let's sing praises to God. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
You know this one, so join in with us.
Victory!
wonderful. Thank you guys for helping us and singing with us this morning. At this time, is there anyone that has any announcements? Do you know of anyone? Okay, Christy. In the middle.
Mm-hmm. So Rachel just asked me to remind everybody that next Sunday is our Hope Family Potluck for Thanksgiving. There'll be some drinks and smoked turkeys provided. Just if you can, bring a side dish or dessert, whatever you're the best at. And all are welcome, so just be sure and come. There's lots of events upcoming, so please be sure and check the app for those. If you need help downloading that, just see me or Rachel or one of the teens. I'm sure they can help. We're continuing our Hope in Recovery meetings each Sunday. The holidays can be a hard time for those in recovery, so just be sure and, you know, remind that, share information out into the community. Those meetings are from 1 to 2. There is a light lunch from, like, noon to 1, and child care is provided for attendees. So finally, just a reminder to the teens that you guys will be staying here with us today during the sermon. And I think that's all.
If there's no other announcements, we're going to take this next 10 minutes to meet and greet.
Hello, hello. We're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. Those of you who are here in the worship center, and as Angie said, we have several folks who are a lot of sick going around sickness, and so a lot of folks are at home watching, so hello to you. We got some folks traveling. Hello to you. And so we thank you for joining us, however you are joining us. Today is a very special day, and I'm so glad that you're here. I've only been on the witness stand twice in my life in a courtroom. The first time I was here in Centerville, and unbeknownst to me, and I did not know who Judge Spitzer was, so I was called to sit and to testify to the character of a friend of mine, and I did so. And I was already nervous because I'd never been in court before. I didn't know how it really worked. I'd seen stuff on television. That didn't look too appealing. I mean, it looked pretty scary, the way it's portrayed on television. But at any rate, so I was on the witness stand, and so I got done, and I thought he was going to say, you know, Mr. Pickard, you're dismissed. Well, he said, Mr. Pickard, can I see you in my chambers? And I thought, he may not remember that, but I thought, what in the world have I done? I've only been in here, I'm sitting on this thing for 3 minutes. How could I have broken the law or been in contempt? I tried to be kind, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And I was, hey, Mr. Pickard, may I see you in my chambers? I'm like, okay. And so I went back. So I formally met him at that time, and he introduced himself to me, and he knew I was a pastor of a church here in our community and wanted to discuss our possible involvement, and that has come to fruition to some degree, our possible involvement in some rehabilitation, restoration, some reformation, rehab-type work that's going to be going on, and more that will continue to go on. And so I was excited to meet him, and he comes in the restaurant some. He feels it's safe enough to eat there, and we get to chat some from time to time. Second time was over in Perry County not too awful long ago, and some of you know that I've talked about this quite some time. He was the judge presiding over Cole's case. And so the second time that I was asked to be on the stand, and I got up there, and he asked me all the different questions, and I tried to be as truthful as I could be and speak to the character of Cole. I want to steal your clicker because I need it just for 1 second. Did I give you the clicker? Yeah. Is it in your pocket? Don't steal it. We've got a lawyer here, and I know a good... I know a judge, the district attorney. We got some powerful folks here. The Judge Spitzer was sort of in his his closing statements or his sentencing of Cole. He was very truthfully and very objectively saying, Cole, these are the things you've done. These are the laws that you've broken. And Cole had admitted all that. He did not disown any of that, did not blame anybody, had a good upbringing, had good mama, all this stuff. He said, Cole, these are the things you've done. And I thought, oh me, because there's some pretty serious things. And I was sitting by Christian, I thought, this is probably not going to go well. It may go in a very judicious way. He probably deserves to go to jail. I've told you this, but I want him to know this as well, and I've told him. I'm 53 years old, and I have to say that I don't know that I've ever heard one word that became more powerful to me than the word that the good judge used after he had said about all of the bad things that Cole had done and all of the laws that Cole had broken. The good judge said all these things that were very truthful, and then he said, but however, it just sends chills up my back to think about it. And as soon as the good judge said, however, I grabbed Christy's arm and I said, I think this is going to go well, considering his situation, that it's going to go well. However, and as soon as he said that, I thought back to Jesus. Because Jesus is a however. You've sinned, I've sinned, we've all done wrong. I'm going to shut up. I'll let him preach the sermon. But Jesus is the great however. We are so very fortunate, and I could read off a long resume of Judge Michael Spitzer, but I won't waste time doing that. You can find that in other places. But I will tell you this, we are so blessed to have a circuit court judge who is a godly man, who sits on the bench, and who is very fair, very truthful, and very transparent. And we are so honored to have him here today to just share a few words with you that the Lord has laid on his heart. So if you would welcome Judge Michael Spitzer.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. It's good to be here with you today. I hope this is working. I don't know. Y'all got a lot of technology over here. Devin's trying to show me all these things. I'm not sure what works.
I don't know if I'm legally supposed to do this, but don't nobody shoot me or jump at me.
How's that work? Any better?
Good.
Let's have a word of prayer to get started. Most gracious and loving God, we lean now on the windowsill of heaven, gazing into the throne room. We seek the Holy Spirit's power this morning. We seek our hearts to be open for your word. Dear God, help us to be your servants here on earth. Help us to recognize that there is a fertile field and that we must work. We must reap the harvest that exists before us. In your name, in Christ's name, we pray, amen. One thing I'm thinking about doing is going back to the office today and drawing up an order, and I'm going to send it to Devin, that says that you folks cannot sing Victory in Jesus sitting down. The good judge up here might have an order somewhere talking about that. I looked on the website and about the Hope Church, and I've heard what Devin had to say about the church here, and I noticed one thing that I heard over and over was the word Jesus. And Jesus means everything to us, and reminded me of a story that I heard. There was a church that the pastor constantly, everything was what Jesus had done and who Jesus was. And he had the little children up one morning during the children's service, and he was asking them a question. He said, I want you to raise your hand and tell me. I'm going to describe something. I want you to tell me what it is. And he said, it has little mouse-like ears. It's kind of a long body, has a bushy tail, and likes to eat nuts. What is that? None of them said a word. He said, come on, y'all know what that is? It's a bushy tail, it runs up in the trees, and tell me what that is. Everyone stayed quiet. And one little girl finally raised her hand. Preacher, I know you want us to say Jesus, but I think it's a squirrel. So I'm really pleased that this church focuses on Jesus Christ. And how many people do we have in here that's third grade up to high school? Stand up for me. Third grade up to high school. I told Devin, I just got one shot here at Hope. And I feel like sometimes when I go to preach somewhere that I'm like a racehorse waiting to come out of the gates. And when the gates open, try to get everything I can at one time. And then it might last too long and get complaints. You people who are standing up, because I hear this in court all the time. I hear that people still get bullied in school and get bullied worse. And I just want you to know this morning that each one of you individually, don't forget this ever, each one of you individually was made by God. God knew you before the foundations of the earth, says it in the scripture. God made you, he knew you before you were even born, and he made you just like you are. So don't anybody ever tell you that you're not worthy, you're not acceptable, or there's something wrong with you. Not everyone can be the same. But society puts on us all of these magazines or what's on TV. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what your mother's or daddy's going to get me on this. This is what your grades are supposed to be. Everything goes to some conformity. God made you just like you are, and that's the way he wants you. He made me. You know, if I was wanting to be somebody, I guess I'd have hair. Devin and I'd have hair, wouldn't we, Devin? But we don't, and I'm happy with that. God made me just like I am, and God made you just like you are. Please don't ever forget, if somebody tells you you're not worthy, you're not acceptable, you're not like us, Just think in your own mind, God made me this way, and I appreciate it. Y'all can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning. Let's read the scripture first. I don't know if, is that on the screen? I don't know what's on. I'm not used to this stuff. Is that it? I want to read from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read more than that's on the screen. What I want to tell you about this morning, let me just tell you where we're going so you'll know what I'm trying to do today. I understand that the Hope Church is a unique church, and that you folks are recognizing that there are issues that people have. Not only are there addictions, there are depressions, there are loneliness, and all of us need help. There's not a single person, in this room today who doesn't have some kind of addiction. And you can say, I don't have an addiction. Well, do you get coffee every morning? Every single morning. Can you do without it? No. Every single one of us have some kind of an addiction. Some of us have addictions that are worse than others and take more to get over. But every single one of us are worthy, just like I told these young people, and God loves all of us. In the second chapter, Corinthians 2, in that book, Paul has discovered that the church at Corinth is lost. And they're lost because they're not conforming to the rest of the society at that time. And the two things that I want to talk to you about are what we want to do here at Hope Church and how we want to do it. And as I began, I wanted you to know that, and we'll look at the scripture passage here in a minute over in Matthew, where Jesus is telling basically this church, look, guys, the field is fertile out there, and the workers are few. And if you look in Hickman County, and I'm bringing this message specifically for Hickman County today, and you're going to see why in a little bit, but we need help in Hickman County to address issues that we have. District Attorney, new District Attorney sitting right over here, he can tell you about all the things that are going on, and I'm going to give you some statistics at the conclusion of where we're going so you can see for yourself. Hope Church is needed in Hickman County. You people, as God's servants, are needed in Hickman County. Paul is telling the church at Corinth, you people are needed in Corinth, and I'm going to tell you what you can do to help people and how you get there. And he tells us that in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to go above this part right here. It says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. And when Paul talks about the fear of the Lord anywhere, what he's talking about is not being afraid of God, but love on its knees. I find that God is an awesome God, and our God is an awesome God. We can't comprehend him. We can't even come close to comprehending his love for us and the love he wants to have for others. But as we fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Now, that's the key for us this morning. And what I want to talk about is your heart and the heart of people out in the community. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. And I'm going to talk to you about our hearts and, again, the hearts of those out in the community. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Now we're fixing to pick up right here. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them that was raised again. Now, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Anyone in Christ in here this morning? Raise your hand. I don't mind asking that. One of the greatest fears I ever have when I go out somewhere to speak is that someone will walk out the back door and not know Jesus Christ. That's the first concern that I have. And I pray if anyone is in this room today who does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, please, I beg you, do not leave. You cannot make it through life without Jesus Christ. You can't do it. I can't say that from the bench. Every single day, Hans will tell you, every single day I have people come before me, and it's a real simple answer for their life. You need Jesus Christ. I can't say that because in our country we have a separation of church and state. I appreciate that fact because I don't want somebody preaching something to me that they shouldn't preach to me unless they're preaching the Word of God. Oh, by the way, what is this book right here? I always like to never get by without saying this is the God's infallible, inerrant word. It represents the mind of God, the state of man, the way to salvation, the doom for the lost, and the victory in Jesus for those who are saved. It is our roadmap for life. Never forget that. And whenever, read a book. Anybody read? You like read books? Read that book and then pick up God's word and read it and see the difference in the two. It is amazing what God has for us in his word. So I ask you this morning to read. But as we look at God's word this morning, as we're reading through this, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do not do that any longer. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not accounting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's committed to us. Every single one of us in this room today, and anyone who's listening, God's word tells us that Jesus Christ has committed to us, to every single one of us, the message of reconciliation. To spread out into the community of Hickman County, Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot live without him. Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot get past your depression without him. Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot get past your loneliness without him. Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot get over your addiction without him. And folks, you can't. You cannot do those things alone. You cannot get past your loneliness alone. You just cannot do it. And God's word is telling us that he has committed to us that message of reconciliation. We are therefore, here's a key for us. We, you, and I, and you can say I right here. If you were reading this, you would say, I am therefore the ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's just as if God were making his appeal through me, reaching out to others, touching them, and telling them that God loves you and God wants to help you where you are and therefore be reconciled to him. I want to talk this morning about how we can get to where we're going and recognize that, we'll try this, I don't know. Devin, you're going to have to do this for me. I don't want to distract. Well, you push it for me. It's okay. It's okay. Over in Matthew, the 9th chapter of Matthew, listen to the words right here. Jesus went through all of the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And here's you and I walking out that door. We're going to the church. And we're going out into Hickman County. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. God's word is telling us, folks, there's two things that you and I have to do in life. We have to recognize the gift that God has given us and go out into the field and gather the harvest. And if we say, well, we can't do that, what does it say right here? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Then we can pray. This church wants to be a vital part, integral part of Hickman County. That's what Devin has told me. That's what I look at your mission statement. I wrote down. Website of this church says, born out of human need for love, mercy, grace, acceptance, and forgiveness, we all come broken. Every single one of us do come broken. We all come scarred. I don't know anybody that's not scarred. I used to be a preacher at Methodist Church. His name was Joe Moore. Joe Moore would he'd get up every Sunday and he'd preach about the deep, dark valleys. And that was many, many, many years ago. And I got so sick of hearing Joe Moore talk about the deep, dark valleys. I have looked for that man. In fact, I talked to the preacher over there at the Methodist Church not long ago. I said, where is Joe Moore? Because I got to go see him. I know what he's talking about. Don't you? I know what deep, dark valley is now. I've been through some of them. And God's word tells us that he is the answer for all those valleys. It says we become scarred, we become bruised, we all come battered. Become all things to all people that we might save someone. The mission of Hope Church, your mission statement. And when I saw that mission, I knew I wanted to speak here and to give some encouragement to you and maybe give some guidance as you go out into the field and help those who are in need. Hope Church is unique because it is a church of people who care. I hesitate in some ways to say this, but I feel compelled to do it. I can go into, and I've been into a lot of churches because we have angel program that we're trying to work through the court system. My belief is that every single person who comes through the criminal justice system needs a mentor. I call it an angel. Talked to Devin about it a long time ago. Everyone gets assigned an angel who loves them, who cares about them, who's there for them. Hans knows of someone here in Hickman County who I was very concerned about, who went through and did real well for a couple of years and then got back in with some of the people that they had been with before and right back in jail on meth charges. What if that person had an angel with them? What if that person, and that's what I want on any settlement from here on, I want a mentor, an angel put with them. Somebody that cares about them and someone that loves them. This church could be the center for the angel program. This church could be built up and work in a way that you provide care for other people. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, folks. And where's our workers? Go up and down the streets. Go up and down all of Hickman County. It's not just Hickman County, but I'm here in Hickman County today. You go to every church. You might get a good lesson. You might even hear a good preacher. But church is out there. Church is not in here. Church is out in the public. And people are in need out there. Is that going to work, Devin? Does it work? Okay, let's go to the next one. God wants your heart this morning. He wants an intimate relationship with you. And let me tell you why. Until you have an intimate relationship with the Almighty God, you will not have endurance, you will not have passion, you will not have a desire and a continued commitment to reach out to those in need. Intimacy with God requires our attention, it requires our time, it requires our meditation, it requires our closeness with Him. How many of you in your life, I tell you an easy one, go way back into elementary school, your first person you thought you really loved. How many have ever had that desire, that need, that want to love someone, and they just ignored you? Everybody been there? Some people in a marriage like that. And we laugh, but it's true, isn't it? It's true. It's true. But you want, in the worst kind of way, to have a relationship with someone. And God thinks that of us. God thinks of that of us over and over. He says, why do you not read the roadmap for your life that I have for you? Why do you have to dust it off? Why do you not find peace and comfort and joy in these words? Go over to Romans 8. My goodness. Romans, in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul is just falling down. He's telling about all the troubles that he had. And yet, then in Romans 8, thanks be to God, the comfort that we have. God's word, folks, God's word is peace. God's word is love. God's word is a roadmap for what to do. My granddaddy always used to tell me, son, if you don't know what to do, ask God. Go to his word, and he'll put it in there for you. It is there as an answer for you. So we need to read his word. God wants an intimate relationship with us so that we can be passionate about him. I get a little bit over-passionate sometimes when I'm speaking. I told Devin, I'm not sure I can go by the slides. Sometimes I just get off on a rabbit trail. We need to be transparent with God. There's nothing wrong at all with going to God, folks, and telling him, look, God, I am weak in this area. I have fallen far short in this area. I've just committed a terrible sin, God. He knows it anyway. He knows what you've done. But, folks, we need to be transparent with him. We need to be genuine with God. We need to learn to trust God. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? So as it says up here, we need to be transparent. We need to be genuine. We need to develop him as a priority in our life. What's the most important thing in your life? What's your most important need in your life? It's got to be God. And if it is not God, then we are putting him second. Seek ye first what? The kingdom in heaven, and all these other things will fall in place for you. These are not just words, folks. So for the Hope Church, what I'm wanting this morning is for you to recognize that you have to get your heart right, and I'm not saying it's not. You have to get your heart right and continue to work at it day after day. You can't just back up. I was, don't look like it, but I was walking on a treadmill the other day. And do you know that the more you walk on a treadmill, the easier it gets? Everybody recognize that? I just started back walking, and I thought, well, you know, I don't think I can even get a mile in. Well, then I got 2 miles in, 3 miles in. It gets easier. The same thing with God. The more time we spend with God, the more we feel his love, the more we feel his compassion, and the more we recognize that his heart is there for us. There's 2 points that I want us to look at this morning. I don't know where it is on that, but the first one is that there's a fallacy that we live by that doesn't work. And the first one is we cannot legislate good behavior. That come up now. We cannot legislate good behavior. God showed us that back in Exodus. In the 20th chapter, you're going to find 10 commandments. And then you go through all of the Bible and look, people started adding more and more to them. The legislature meets up here. My former law partner said they need to meet every 5 years, instead of every year. But they meet every single year, and there's new laws. Thou shalt not break into someone's house. Thou shalt not destroy your body with meth. Thou shalt not abuse people. Thou shalt not assault people. Thou shalt not commit assault on little children. We're going to look in a minute what Hickman County thinks about that. You cannot legislate good behavior. The district attorney's office cannot change the behavior of people in Hickman County. They can just seek to put them away and ask me to do that. Law enforcement folks cannot change the behavior of people in Hickman County. They can pick them up. They can be there, but they cannot change the behavior. So it's very important for us to recognize that we cannot legislate good behavior. And the second point that I want you to know for sure is the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And folks, you and I need to have a heart that is seeking God daily. And as we do that, we begin to find compassion. We begin to be encouraged to recognize that somebody is hurting and care about people. All of us, as we grow older, as we grow nearer to God, don't we have more compassion for people than we used to? Don't we care about people more than we used to? My wife and I went down to Texas several times to rebuild her parents' home after the hurricane. And I saw elderly ladies walking the streets with nowhere to go. No one that cared about them. The government did not answer. The government, y'all go anywhere you want to where there's a disaster, and people can sit back and think, well, FEMA's going to take care of it. They don't. They don't do it. Who answers the call? The churches. The people that love, the people that care. You can't legislate good behavior, and the problem in the world is the problem with the human heart. You folks are the good people of Hickman County that is being called upon today, right now, to respond to all of these people who are in need. Did you know that I assume you know that there's people out in Hickman County who have addictions? Assume you know that? Anybody don't? I assume you know that there are people out in Hickman County who are being abused. I see it every single day. And every single day, one of the worst things I'm beginning to see is more and more assault, sexual assaults on children. I'm seeing more and more parents who are in the midst of a divorce, for example, who are abusing their children by wanting them to pick sides. I'm seeing that every single day, and it breaks my heart. And I wish I could just stop the proceedings and say, look, folks, let's just pray right here a little bit. Let's go to God and let God get involved in this case. And I promise you there'll be a difference. It'd be a total difference. You wouldn't be fighting over grounds. You wouldn't be fighting over what a teacup. You wouldn't be fighting over things anymore. You'd just be loving your little children. As I tell them every day, most precious gift you've got is outside the courtroom, sitting out there waiting for this proceeding to be over. Two little children who love you both and needs both of you. Folks, we need our hearts to get right. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And you and I need to recognize day by day that we're going to be attacked by the devil. We're going to be told, it's going to happen as you go out that door. I listen to all that stuff, but I'm too busy. I don't have time. Or, you know, I'm not going to go up to some old drug addict and give him a hug. I'm not going to do that. I read to you earlier, you're God's ambassador, folks. Every single one of us are God's ambassador, and you're going to hear that. Satan's going to be working on you and try to get you to do something else, spend your time elsewhere, just like he does. I don't have time to read the Bible today. I don't have time to pray today. I don't have time to meditate today. I don't have time to write that card to that person who's sick. I don't have time to pick up the phone. And I tell you what, I think I'd rather just email them and talk to them. Satan's working on us. Technologies. Satan's created this technology in my mind to do things just exactly like that. 1 Peter 5:8, burned on my heart, be disciplined. The devil, like a roaring lion, is prowling around looking for someone to devour. And walk out that door, and the closer you are to God, the fiercer the battle. If he can get you, if he can get Hope Church, if he can get Hope Church to say, you know, we like what David's doing, but I don't have time for it. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. That's why I came over here. I saw your mission statement. We need in Hickman County help. We need godly people going out into the streets and saying, we love you. We care about you. We're not going to let you get lost in life because you are worthy. You are a person of God, and Hope Church is the mission for it. We're going to start, and we're going to see how many other churches we can get involved. Go up and down the street, as I said earlier. You're not going to see many. You're not going to see many of them. They go in and they have good social hour and they go home and it's over with. Till next Sunday and let's go back. I'm not talking about any church if we're on FaceTime. So So the first thing we need to do is have an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. And we need to work on it every single day. Please don't let us do God like we have thinking, as we think back that person did to us when we were young. Oh, I wanted them to love me so bad and they don't care a thing about me. Don't let us do that to God. God is standing at the door and knocking. He's saying, I want your heart. Remember over in the Old Testament, I don't know how many times Devin might know, over and over in the Old Testament, God is saying, I am going to take your heart and I'm going to change it from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I'm going to change your life. And every single one of us, when we receive Jesus Christ, he invested us with the Holy Spirit, a counselor that is receptive to God's word and begins to change and begins to mold. And as experience happens to us through life, we begin to say, I do care about other people. I do care about people who are hurting. And I do because of that intimate relationship we saw earlier that I have with God. I've got endurance now. I've got compassion for those people. I've got 10 points that I say, and I don't want anybody to do it, but I've got 10 points that I have to do because one of the things I say every morning is God, protect me from the evil one. He's prowling around like a roaring lion. I know it. I know it. And I know he gets after me every single day. But 10 points I say, and the first one, it starts with a letter of the alphabet, compassion. God, help me to have compassion today. The second one is dignity. God, help me to show everyone the dignity they deserve. And I don't care if you are under a street bridge in Nashville or you're sitting in the governor's mansion, you deserve the same dignity because God made you. I told these young people, he knew you before the foundations of the world. He formed you in your mother's womb. And God loves you. He loves every single one of us. So the second one I have every time is dignity. Help me to recognize the dignity and the worth of every human being. Won't go through all of them, but they're pretty good to remember each and every day. God loves us. God wants your heart first. And he wants you to have a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. God wants us to have a desire to spread his message. Can we do that? Just asking you, it's like a homework assignment I tell my Sunday school class. Can you just go home and think about the fact that maybe God does have a place for me. I promise you if he does, it's going to be rewarding for you. How many of us have met the risen Savior and keep it to ourselves? How many of us have never in this room? How many of us in this room have never pressed the claims of Christ on another single human being? I read about Dwight Moody, who used to say, I will never go to sleep at night without pressing the claims of Christ on someone. And one night it was snowing, it was dark, he'd been in a revival, he got in his bed, he was cold, and he sat down and he said, you know, I didn't personally meet with anyone today. He got up, he put his clothes back on, went out into the streets. Under the street lamp, there was an old man, homeless man. He sat down beside of him and pressed the claims of Christ upon him and got up and went back to bed. The next Sunday, that man was in church with him, told him he thanks him, thank you how much he had done for him, and it turned his life around. Folks, you don't know. You hadn't got a clue what you might do. I carry with me a cross. Boys know about it. They're here today. Given to my dad in 1944 by a little girl over in Germany. You don't know what you might do or what you might say that might change the world. An old story that I heard many, many years ago. There was the family that lived in Atlanta. They were a very poor family in the early 1900s. And the mother was a maid, and she cleaned house for a wealthy family, a very wealthy family, and she had a little boy who was crippled from birth. His name was Michael. And she would bring newspapers home and lay those newspapers out on the floor and teach him to read from those newspapers every day. And during the day while she was gone, he was there alone, and he would read the newspaper. And one day he read an article about a famous Austrian orthopedic surgeon who was coming to Atlanta named Dr. Lorenz. And he showed his mother that when she came in and she said, Mom, he said, Mom, a Dr. Lorenz is coming to Atlanta, coming to this country and going to be here and teach at the hospital. Could we go see him for me? And she said, no, son, we can't afford Dr. Lorenz. We can't do that. So she let it go. The next day, the little boy asked Mom again, Dr. Lorenz will be here next week. Can we go see him? And she said, no, we can't afford that. So Michael crawls around the floor, continuing to do that. And the week that Dr. Lorenz was coming, she, in fact, did take him and told Dr. Lorenz, met with Dr. Lorenz, and told him, I don't have any money. We're poor. This boy's been crippled from birth. Probably there's nothing you can do for him. Probably nothing. But do you mind seeing him? Dr. Lorenz was a man of faith, and he said, I will see him. And he saw him. And he thought, I can help that boy. And the mother said, well, I don't have any money. He said, I'll charge you a penny. Let's see what we can do. So he took Michael, and he performed surgery on him. In fact, about 3 or 4 surgeries on him. And one day, his mother came into the hospital room. He'd been up there for 2 months, rehab and working. His mother came into the hospital room, and Michael told her, stop at the door. And he got up, and he walked to her. So a day or two later, Dr. Lorenz came in. And Dr. Lorenz sat with him. They were very close friends. And he prayed with him. And so Dr. Lorenz was going back to Austria. And as he went out the door, Michael said, Dr. Lorenz, as long, like an old country boy would say, as long as there's a tongue a wagging in my mouth, ain't nobody going to forget what you've done for me. Now, how much more has the great physician done for us? How much more has Jesus Christ and the Almighty, awesome God done for you and I, and we keep that quiet? We need to be like Michael. As long as there's a tongue wagging in my mouth, Hope Church is going to reach out in this community and going to meet the needs of the people here. So we need to renew our intimacy with God, and then we need to recognize that the harvest is plentiful. And I'm telling you, folks, it is plentiful. We have those select verses that I had from, was that up on the screen? I don't know. I want to look back at the 5th chapter. Oh, I want to do something else. See, I told you I couldn't go by that slide, Bennett. I want to just show you in 2 Corinthians what I was talking about and what Paul knew and what you and I knew. Listen, and he says this 2 times in 2 Corinthians. Amazed me. And I want you to think about this from the perspective of people out there, people out in our community who are hurting. Anyone know anyone who's hurting? I know a bunch of folks who are. All right, think about this from them and what they need to know. Paul says, we were under great pressure. You're not going to find it up there now. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of life. Thinking of suicide. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. And here's the response. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. It is on him that we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as he has done in our prayer and through our prayers. Folks, Hickman County. There are people in Hickman County who are on the verge of suicide today. There are people in the Hickman County who are in darkness today. There are people in Hickman County who say, I've got nowhere to turn. Like Michael, as long as there's a tongue wagging in the mouth of every member of Hope Church, we're going to find you. We're going to come to you, and we're going to tell you this has happened so that we don't rely on ourselves. You can't do it on your own. You can't overcome anything on your own. I promise you, you can't do it. You can try all you want to. You've got to have the Almighty God. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will. Paul says that in the very first chapter, and it doesn't take him but to the 4th chapter to then say, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, because we always carry around in our body, in our hearts, the death and resurrection of a Savior, one who can heal us, one who can get us on the level that we need to be on. The scripture passage up there from Samuel. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. As you reach out to other people, just like I told these young folks, that's God's heart within them. And all you want to do on this roadmap to recovery is I want to have an intimate relationship with the Almighty, awesome God, number one, because that gives me strength, just like Paul said. Oh, I might be distressed, but I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go for it. I've got to get my heart right. And then when I do, I want to seek those hearts. God's looking at the heart. He's not looking at outward appearance. He don't care what you look like. God wants to know what's in your heart. That old saying, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. It's down inside that God's looking at. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes keep my ways. Isaiah and Jesus recited this. These people come. This is the world. Here's the world. These people come near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. I want Hope Church. I love you people. I don't even know you, but I love you. And I want you to love others. And I want you to have a endurance and a passion for the world out there, because Hickman County needs it. Hickman County needs someone. I told Hans back when he was my assistant before he became DA, we can't cure this situation. It's going to have to be the churches. You're going to have to get busy here, and you people in this church are going to have to reach out in this community if you want to change it. And you say, we don't need to be changed. I'm going to show you in a minute you do. So I've pledged to have an intimate relationship with God day by day. I have pledged to look out into the world. I didn't put this on the slide, Devin. But I wrote seven things down here that Hope Church members would say. I am no longer satisfied with going to church. I recognize that I am the church, and I'm going to begin to find what talent I have and reach out to others. Number two, I am prepared for criticism, but I will rely on God to strengthen me. May have already happened, I don't know. But somebody's going to say, that bunch up there is a little different. You heard that yet, Devin? That bunch up there, there's something wrong with them. They're not following the rituals. You know, they're not doing it like we do it. I had my son right there, John. And I don't know if I already say this or not. I'm going to. He was a member of a church, let's put it that way. And he and I talked religion a lot while we watched the boys play baseball. And he was a lot better coach than I was. And he coached with me, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I don't know how many it was. He said one day, he said to me, he said, well, you know, Mike, I'm not sure. I'm kind of thinking you might be going to hell. I said, well, I'm not. I said, I'm confident. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And if today I'd welcome the trumpet to sound and the eastern sky open up, I'd like that today, right now. He said, well, I'm concerned about it. He said, were you baptized? He said, I know when you grew up in the Methodist church. They sprinkle over there. He said, were you baptized? I said, yeah, I was. He said, sprinkling? I said, no, I was baptized by immersion. When? I said, when I was in law school, I was going to Adrian Rogers Church, Baptist Church, down in Memphis. One day, God called me to go be baptized. So I went down, and he said, come back next week, and we'll do it. I said, no, sir, we got to do it today. I don't know why. God wanted me to be baptized right then, and I had to do it. So I was baptized because God called me to be. Charles said, is that why you were baptized? I said, is it? Are you going to hell? I said, what did I do wrong, Charlie? He said, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what the Bible says in those words. I said, well, I bet God doesn't care about the words. He just knows I did it because he told me to do it. Hope Church is going to get comments like that if you hadn't. Hope Church, if you get out in the community and you associate, like Jesus did, with those who are lost, you're going to get some criticism for it. Hope Church, if you get out there and you start a program, which I would love to see, Devin, for parents to recognize how to parent. Simple as that. How to parent. It's not to beat your child. It's not to ignore your child. It's not to run the other parent down. This is how we co-parent with one another. One of the big things we have in domestic court now. People can't co-parent anymore. If you would just teach them that. Hope Church is going to get some criticism for getting in an area you don't know nothing about. That's what they're going to say. Why? Be disciplined. The devil like a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. So I'm telling you right here, be prepared for criticism, but rely on God's strength. You heard what Paul said about it. Hope Church, I will seek more compassion as it becomes difficult and I see some failure. I will become totally non-judgmental in helping others who have made mistakes and recognize that we have all sinned and fallen short. One of the biggest problems in society that we have, one of the biggest problems we have in God's church, I know he's shaking his head in a sad way, and the angels don't sing for it, is that we are judgmental. Hope Church is not. We're different. Hope Church is different, and you can stand up and be proud of that. Do not be judgmental. Helping others is what we do. Do not be judgmental. The field is ready for harvest out there, and we are the workers going and doing God's work. That is so important as mission statements. I will find a way to witness no matter what in this mission. I will be a worker or I'll be a prayer worker, a warrior, one or the other, and be involved. So that's my mission statement to you, every single person who is here today. I've tried to lay the groundwork for you. I'm going to get my heart right and be intimate with God. I'm not going to ignore him. I'm going to seek him daily. I'm going to read his word as a roadmap, and then I'm going to seek the hearts of those out there who need me, who are living in darkness. I will not say like Moses did initially. Here's a big one. Here's a hurdle. I pick somebody else. God, they got talents over there. I don't have any talent for that. Every single one of us has a gift. God made you with a gift. Find it. One of the gifts that God gave you is to seek him. Seek God and all these other things will fall in place. I have hope that our programs will be a success and that Jesus Christ will work through me. My strength will come from the God who said, "Let the light shine out of the darkness." He turns every tear into a pearl and every crucifixion into an Easter Sunday morning. And I will praise him and reach out and do his work. I want to turn, and probably this isn't on screen either, Devin. I'm sorry. In the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, listen to this. Paul sums things up. Am I running out of time or anything? Paul sums things up over in the third chapter. I just want to leave you with this. He's telling the church at Corinth, I've done everything I could for you folks, and you're beginning to come back into the fold and to see the light, but you've been led astray by these other preachers out there who are telling you you need to do this, do that, and these other things, and leave people alone. But he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation? Here's what I want you to have. Here's what I want Hope Church to be right here. I want you to be a letter of recommendation. Let me tell you how Paul says it. You yourselves, you people out there who are in need, you are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, the difference that we have made as we go down the community. And listen to this letter. A letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. A letter written not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Folks, There are hearts out there who are vacant. There are hearts out there who are hurting. There are hearts out there who are living in darkness. You have chosen a church with a mission that says, we're willing to go out and meet those hearts. Why? Because I have an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. I know what He did for me, and I'm willing to do that for someone else. What if your neighbor, what if someone that you know through a friend is hurting? They all have worth. They're all God's children, and you could do something to change everything. If you do that, you on that day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul talks about it in 2nd chapter of Corinthians, you will have your hands full of letters of recommendation to hand to the Almighty God that are written by His Spirit on the hearts of those in need. What a wonderful thought that you could have that. Hope Church has that opportunity. Is there a need? We got that slide, Devin, about the need. Yeah. Look at this. I want to show you about the fertile field. Hope you can see a screen somewhere. The field is fertile. Statistics. This is Hickman County. I've been talking about a need up here. In the last few years, over 133 counts of assault, one of them ending in death. That's where you live, folks. Number two, 62 counts of reckless endangerment with a weapon here in Hickman County. 57 counts of domestic assault, 12 counts of first-degree murder. Eight counts of second-degree murder or attempted first-degree, 13 counts of kidnapping. And folks, I'm beginning to see, and be careful, those of you with young children, I'm beginning to see quite a bit of kidnapping of young children. Y'all see it in news every single day. The most precious gift you have, watch them closely. I probably shouldn't say this either, but I'm going to. If I had a child, there's no way I'd let them go spend the night with somebody. Used to, I would. Can't do it anymore. I just can't. I'm sorry. I see too much of what goes on when they do. Five counts of vehicular homicide, 33 counts of sexual battery, 27 counts of rape or sexual abuse of a child. One defendant told me, that's what they're there for. I promise you. That's what they're there for. Over 100 counts of theft of property, 70 counts of burglary, 497 counts of drug offenses, 127 counts of driving while intoxicated, and 271 counts of continuing illegal activity after they go on probation, the gift of probation, and they continue on. They continue on. Now, folks, neither the district attorney's office nor I can do anything about that. If I was free, I could come a long way to it while they're standing there before me. What you need is God. I'm not going to let you out of here till you find Him. And I'm going to work with you to find the Almighty God who can save you and stop this kind of behavior. I can't do that, but you can. And so I'm here today and I'm asking you, I'm almost begging you, because I know what's going on. You are a church that was built on a mission of being different. You are a church that was built on a recognition that people are hurting. You are a church that was built on a recognition that there are people who are battered, some of us, some battered, scarred, broken, and living in darkness. This is your mission statement. You're not just here for social time. You're not just here because Devin's a nice guy and he's got barbecue out there. You are here because you love the Almighty God. I know you are. You are here because you have been saved and you recognize the joy and the peace and the comfort and the hope that lies in that salvation. I'm just asking, based on these kind of statistics in Hickman County, that you leave those doors and say, Devin, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Number one, I want some angels out of this church, Devin. Number two, I'd like to see you develop some programs. I know you got some rehab, some programs that not only address drug offenses, but also address some of these child sexual offenses and parenting classes and those kind of things. The field is fertile. It's ready for a harvest. And the government, I said earlier, can't legislate good behavior. And the problem is with the heart. The heart of the human problem is a problem with the human heart. Folks, you can do something. Make a difference before the God calls you home. Let's have a word of prayer. Most gracious and loving God, you are an awesome God. Dear God, we praise you. We're so grateful for the plan of salvation through the man Jesus Christ. What a Savior. What a Savior. Dear God, next time this church sings victory in Jesus, make them stand up. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Thank you for the Holy Spirit living within us. Help us to seek others. Help us to have compassion for others. Help us to have an intimate relationship with you and an intimate relationship with the world that we can, like Michael said, as long as there's a tongue a wagging in my mouth, I ain't never going to forget what you have done for me, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Thank y'all.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I wish we'd have been recording the last 5 minutes of that. That would be a great promotional video for Hope Church. Everything that he said that we are is what we're striving to be. And we sing the song oftentimes, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and we do. But I'm thankful that we have a friend in Judge Spitzer as well. And he is singing our praises wherever he can. And so I see all the things that he said to us today, I take it as a challenge for a lot of programs that we can become involved in, and we'll continue to work hand in hand with him and others in doing that. We thank him so much for being here, bringing his sons, some other folks here who he cares about. We want to just say thank you to them for being here, and thank you for being here. And so if there's nothing else, we're going to let David lead us in closing prayer.
And we're going to sing along the chorus because we're standing in victory in Jesus.
You don't need
it.
Don't me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We fulfilled the order. Bow with me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Father, you love us. Thank you. Father, you sent your Son, Christ, to live and to die for us. Thank you. Father, we, in our hearts today, at this moment, we are thankful for public servants like Judge Spitzer. We are thankful for men and women that will serve the government, that will serve the communities, and will serve God, serve you first and foremost. Thank you, thank you, thank you for these individuals. Father, this morning we've heard disappointing statistics. We've heard heart-wrenching counts, and we are challenged. And Father, we hope and pray as a congregation of believers, of followers in Christ, that we will accept this challenge, that we will reach out into this community, that we will embrace, that we will love those that are in need of your love, that are in need of our love. Father, today, be with us throughout the rest of this day and the rest of this week. May we always look to you, your Son, as an example for our life, showing love. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.